Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is football season. The Ravens are 0-1. We're going to begin 1-0 next Tuesday. We're going to be at the Beaumont in Catonsville doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We have some new sponsors around here, including our friends at GBMC. Liberty Pure, always with us here, keeping our water deliciously perfect here this time of year. And, of course, all of our sponsors. We had a great August. We were out down at the Mako doing our tastiness with our friends at Curio Wellness, and I'm wearing my Curio Wellness gear here. We're doing our countdown this week, including some tasty treats. That's all I'm going to say. Some baked items and other veggie items. My number two item is a veggie item for those who like veggie items. So doing a little bit of that. In the meantime, anything we could do to not talk about the last 4 minutes of the football game on Sunday night. Luke Jones is here. We're going to give some praise to the offense here. We're going to give some damnation to the defense. We're certainly going to give some responsibility and accountability to the coaches, even though John Harbaugh wants no piece of me lately, for reasons such as Sunday night. And they don't like questions around there about, predatorial kickers and things like that either. But in the meantime, the loss is the loss, but we still look at it. And I'm writing in my column this week at Baltimore Positive, I still think they can win the Super Bowl, and I still think at some point they're going to win the Super Bowl, and they're good enough, and they certainly showed themselves for the better part of 2 hours and 45 minutes on Sunday night to have the other really good team in the league, the other team with the MVP, and they went in, and I mean they took Buffalo's lunch money all night long. I mean it was a dominant effort until they lost the game.
Yeah, I mean it was until the final three drives where they went punt, fumble, punt. But we've seen now 3 times that these teams have played in the last calendar year. And it's been said before, this isn't any bold pronouncement. I think anyone who's much more of an X's and O's film nerd than I would ever claim to be, this is a really bad matchup for how Buffalo likes to play defense. And let me be clear, the Ravens tend to be a bad matchup for just about every defense out there, save for a couple, maybe. But you look at the last three meetings now, going back to week four last year, the Ravens, 7.9 yards per play in that game that they won, and they won decisively. 7.3 yards per play in the divisional round, despite having lost, at the heartbreak at the end of the game. And 8.6 yards per play on Sunday night. It really, truly is. Now, let me be clear, the defense had a major hand in what happened late in Sunday night's game, and the special teams was poor as well. But it truly is as simple as take care of the football against this really good Buffalo team, and you should win. And unfortunately, Derrick Henry had the fumble. Derrick Henry hasn't put the ball on the ground a whole lot. We know that. But go back to the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh last year. Had a fumble early in that game that proved to be pivotal. So there was so much to like.
Well, they don't punt a lot. They don't give the ball up a lot. They tend to score points when they have the ball. And when they get the ball and somehow relinquish possession in any way, whether it's turnover, whatever, it's a little bit stunning because they do just go up and down the field at will, and they've been doing this for 7 years. I mean, I go back to that game out at the LA Coliseum. I mean, that stadium's gone. They've already played a Super Bowl at SoFi and planned another one. You know what I mean? Like, that stadium's been there a while, but I go back to those purple uniforms that night. Jalen Ramsey was a part of the Rams that night. And I was on the field, and he started a riot 20 feet away from me that night. I saw him try to do the same thing. He's in Pittsburgh now. I look at this era beginning around that period of time where they track meet you and they track. I mean, they looked as impressive on Sunday night. If you judge the game at the beginning of the fourth quarter and they got a 15-point lead, and even when the kicker misses the extra point, you're looking at it saying, this, they've refined it and made it even better. when they're pulling Ronnie Stanley and Linderbaum out to or whomever they would pull out to blow up the left side of the line and take out. I mean, Ronnie Stanley's taking on cornerbacks out there, pancaking them, and you got Derrick Henry coming down your neck, and the entire rest of the offensive line's moving right, including the fastest man on the planet, Lamar Jackson, who might keep the football. I mean, just on a play-by-play basis, the things that go through the minds of safeties and linebackers and where their hips are and what their reads are and what feet are doing, hands are doing at the speed of light, and you're either going to get Lamar or Derrick Henry or Zay Flowers running past you. Pick your poison.
Yeah, well, and I think what was kind of lost in how great the offense played until their final three drives and what happened in the final 5 minutes was they did that without two very important pieces to their offense on Sunday night. There was no Isaiah Likely, and we know what kind of weapon he's become for Lamar Jackson to the point where we're all wondering prior to him having foot surgery back in late July of whether he was going to overtake Mark Andrews or not for the number one tight end. And obviously they're on the field a whole lot together, so that's a little bit of a ceremonial thing than anything, but also understanding that they're both in contract years. So they didn't have Zay Flowers on the field, and they had an elevated practice squad tight end in Zaire Mitchell-Payton lining up in the Pat Ricard role. He was playing fullback, and
Yeah, so
Derrick
who's
had
the guy with two names? I said the same thing, right?
Yeah, and Derrick Henry still averaged 9.4 yards per carry. And I made mention, I want to go back to it for a moment because I mentioned it, but I didn't really explain myself. Look, the Ravens offense is a bad matchup for everybody, right? I mean, there are very few defenses in this league that are well equipped to not stop them, but slow them down in a better manner than 90% of the league, right? We've seen Cleveland have some success. With how they like to play defense, and say what you want about the Cleveland quarterback situation the last several years. They have had some good defenses, so we've seen them have some success. We've seen Pittsburgh have their share of success. We've seen Kansas City have success against them. But that Buffalo defense, it is much more of a modern day NFL defense in the way that you think of it's lighter, it's more athletic. They like to be in nickel. Their linebackers, for as good as Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard are, they are lighter. They are smaller guys. So when you have the Ravens going up against them, it's always that question of, and that was my question going into the game was, okay, knowing you're not going to have Ricard, and even though Likely's not a blocker as much as a receiver as a tight end, it's still someone you're missing. I was questioning how much two tight end heavy formation football they were going to be able to play compared to what they like to do. And they still ran that a ton. I mean, you go and look at the final snap counts. I think Zaire Mitchell-Payton played, he played three fewer snaps than DeAndre Hopkins. Now that's simplistic, but that shows you how much they still wanted to use a fullback, how much they were still using two tight ends when Charlie Kohler plays 31 snaps. Mark Andrews played 38 out of 51 snaps. So it shows you there was still a whole lot of 12 personnel, 22 personnel on the field for them, or 21
By the
personnel.
way, you also mentioned they only ran 51 plays because they didn't run drives. They just like
They just,
sprinted to the end zone.
yeah. I mean, they score. They kept scoring, right? I mean, look, that's what is so incredibly, extraordinarily frustrating about this game. I mean, this offense was not even at full strength, and you saw what they were able to do. Now, granted, it would have been nice to see them finish the game on a higher note without a turnover. And without going three and out twice, right? So, but I also understand it's a lot to ask to go through the entire night. And what they had through the first three quarters, they had one punt. They went field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown. And then the final three drives, punt, fumble, punt, right? So even more so, not as much about the offense, but still, yes, about the offense. They need to finish, but man, there was so much to like. And look, this team's going to boat race a lot of teams this year. And I didn't need to see Sunday night to feel that way. And I do still feel that way about that part of it. I'm not going to talk about the Super Bowl or January because,
Well,
it's
Detroit looked vulnerable,
yeah.
you
Well,
know, I guess.
and what's kind of amazing about this game in general, if you watch the league on Sunday, not even go back to Thursday night and Friday night, although Herbert played great football against Kansas City's defense Friday night. You didn't see a lot of a ton of great offensive performances, right? We talk about this a lot, how teams are playing fewer and fewer of their starters in the preseason. And as much as we tend to look at that and say, okay, what does that mean for the tackling element, right? And I talked about that with you going into this game. How would the Ravens tackle? Well, we saw instances of them not tackling well. We saw instances of Buffalo not tackling well, right? But there's also the element of the offenses. And when you're talking about motion and some of these option routes and all the different things that a sophisticated NFL offense does compared to what we saw in the NFL 25 years ago, or what you might see at college or the high school level, anything like that. There is that element to not playing a whole lot of truly real football over the summer. That is your timing going to be right? Are you going to have everything in sync? And that's why, just from an entertainment standpoint, how the Ravens played offensively and the Bills, how they played, that was impressive because you saw a lot of games in the the Houston and LA 14-9. You have San Francisco and Seattle 17-13, right? Denver 20-12 over Tennessee. The Commanders, they beat the Giants, but it's not like they ran up and down the field. They had 21 points in that game. So for the Ravens and the Bills to score into the low 40s on opening night, I mean, that's they're playing a different sport than the rest of the league, right? I mean, that's what we saw on Sunday night. So that's where you look at this and say, yeah, I think the Ravens offense, for my money, they'll be right at the top in so many different categories, running the ball and throwing the ball. Lamar was incredible from an efficiency standpoint last year, throwing the football and throwing for touchdowns and not throwing picks. And his passer rating was amongst the all-time great single season passer ratings. So there's so much to like, and there's still more meat on the bone. Like I said, you didn't have Likely, you didn't have Ricard, and they still did what they did against Buffalo. And like I said, that Buffalo defense, which is a very modern, it's a modern structured kind of defense where you say, yeah, we've got to play a nickel. We've got to, we're going to be a little bit lighter because we need to be more athletic. Well, the Ravens just, you do that, and the Ravens just kill you with the run game, and we've seen that. I mean, the Ravens have just completely gashed them, but got to hold on to the football. You got to sustain a couple drives when you need to at the end of the game, and that's where, if you're Todd Monken, if you're John Harbaugh, looking at this offense, if you're Lamar Jackson, and all these offensive players, yeah, you loved what you did over the first 50 minutes of that football game, but my goodness. Just you got to make another play. You, as much as maybe it was unfair because the defense didn't do its share and the special teams didn't do its share, you still got to make a play at the end, and they didn't do that. So very, very frustrating because there was so much to like. And again, more meat on the bone. I think. I mean, it sounds crazy to say that because it's a 40-point performance, but like I said, you add Likely to the mix, you add Ricard back into the mix. You got to stay healthy. I mean, that applies for every team, but man, you add the DeAndre Hopkins factor, which we saw with a highlight touchdown. The Ravens like to say the sky's the limit, and that's such a cliche that you hear athletes talk about, about good teams, but it really does feel like this offense could do just about anything at once. But man, got to finish the football game. And that's where you're left with the sour taste, even after the dominating gaudy numbers that we saw over the first 53 minutes of that football game for the offense.
A couple things. What did you like the most about? I mean, you talk a lot about the offensive line. I saw Falele pancaking guys. Pass rush, Lamar ran for his life backwards 25 yards at one point and then ran 20 yards forward. But Lamar, as a pocket passer, as a guy who used to run forward in the linebackers, I see him running now Fran Tarkington style, right? Like backwards faster than anybody can chase him. Been a lot more of that though, since Monken got here, where he is literally scrambling for his life and sometimes gets caught and sometimes he winds up out in the middle of a pasture 15 yards away from an like. How did Ed Oliver not get him to the ground? How did Joey Bosa not get him to the ground? How did Rousseau not get him to the ground? Like, you watch all of this, and I say, well, you like Lamar because Lamar is an improved player. You don't think Derrick Henry's lost anything, whether it's a step, whether it's boat racing a safety, who's a 4-7 safety at this point in his career, right? Like, let alone linebackers catching him or anything like that. I mean, when the safeties can't catch him and the cornerbacks maybe not be able to catch him, I'd need an angle to catch him. You have so many queens on the chessboard, you know, that you can move around. And I look and say, what do you fix on the offense? And what do you really fix in those last three drives, other than fumbling? Obviously, that's something that just can't happen. But even then, like, you had four plays to get 10 yards to keep the ball and win the game, and you punted on one of them. And you took Derrick Henry off the field in another one. So, I mean, part of it's strategic, and are we in base? Are we in 12? What, you know, what are we going to put out on the field in what circumstance and down in distance? But on a one-by-one basis, if you're going to rank and look at these guys, nobody needs to get benched.
No, I mean,
We're not at Marcus Williams, or you know what I mean? We're not at that place, right?
no, I mean, and obviously we'll get to the defense with another conversation, but you look at this offense. Look, I would still say most of Derrick Henry's best work is still on the outside runs, right? So, you know, they can always
And
get a
their
little.
misdirection. You have the
Yeah,
line going one
sure.
way, Lamar going one
So,
way, and the ball going the other. Like, that is their offense. I mean, literally.
sure. So you could still say, okay, running between the tackles, you know, that's, and it's not like they can't do that. Let me be clear, right? I mean, we're talking about the best rushing attack in the NFL, maybe the best rushing attack in NFL history when you look at what this is fully capable of being.
Well,
And
your buddy Aaron Schatz would come on and could make a story about that.
yeah, I mean, you know, and that's without, you know, that's with not even talking about Justice Hill. Keaton Mitchell was a healthy scratch. And I think that was much more of a special teams decision because Ali does so much on special teams. And, you know, you can only have so many running backs active. But there's, like I said, there's more meat on the bone in that way. But yeah, they're between their interior offensive line, you know, and the guard specifically can still be better. As I pointed out to you when we were kind of breaking down that final drive that they had, you know, that Derrick Henry run on first down. Go back and look at that play. What really blew that up was Ed Oliver pushing Andrew Voorhees back about 2 yards, and that eliminated any chance of Derrick Henry getting anything decent on that first down run. So there was an example of that. You know, certainly the play calling. I mean, Monken should be second guessed for that, right? I mean, you know, there even if you even go back to. Think back to the crazy scramble and then Henry's touchdown. Even then, I think everyone was asking, why did the Ravens come out throwing on the first couple plays of that drive, right? I mean, it got to third down and or I guess, you know, Lamar, you know, with his scramble, you're kind of asking those first couple plays of that drive, you know, why are you got a 2-score lead here in the fourth quarter? Why are you dropping back to throw? And then Lamar scrambles and does a special thing, and then Henry runs for a touchdown at that point. So I was even questioning it there, even though obviously it worked out very, very well with that drive. But I mean, it's, you know, you just look at that last drive and you just say, how do you not give it to Derrick Henry twice? Or even if you're not going to give it to Derrick Henry on second down, why are you taking him off the field and eliminating that possibility in, you know, for Buffalo's coordinator and you know their defensive players looking at that. So, you know, you're always going to second guess play calls. And let me be clear about that. I mean, Todd Monken had a great day, a great night overall. This offense had an extraordinary night overall. They scored 40 points, right? I mean, how many times in the history of this franchise have they scored more than 30, let's say, and lost football games? Not many. You know, you probably have to go back to like the 96 Ravens, right? With Vinny chucking it all over the field and but the Ravens defense having Ray Lewis and, you know, one or two other decent players, and that's it. You know, they couldn't stop anybody that inaugural season as we're now celebrating the 30th season. But man, you scored 40 points. Buffalo doesn't have the best defense in the league. And like I said, on paper, I do think the Ravens are a brutal matchup for how the Bills really like to play defensively. But that said, the Ravens are a brutal matchup for everyone, save for a couple teams in the league that
Well, if you go
do a
back
better job
to
against them.
51, 50 weeks ago, whenever it was, where they just kicked the Bills' ass, the weight differential looked like a heavyweight and a welterweight, right? Like literally just the Ravens ran them over like they did on Sunday night. It was a very similar sort of beatdown for the first 52 minutes of it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Ed Oliver's a heck of a football player. Don't get me wrong, and he made some plays. I mean, like I said, I mean, I mean, he had the forced fumble. I mean, right? I think it was Oliver who stripped that.
Oh, yeah. He's the one
Yeah,
that punched the ball in.
so he's a great player. But you just look at him, just as one example. He's 287 pounds. You look at Bernard and Matt Milano. I mean, these are smaller tight ends, right?
230-pound linebackers, yeah.
Terrell Bernard is 224 pounds. He's listed at that. And generally, these guys tend to be a few pounds lighter than what they're listed as, unless you're talking about the fat defensive tackles, right? Then you say, well, but yeah, you just look at that, and it's why I'm not surprised that the Ravens ran the ball the way they did. And the one thing I'll give Buffalo credit in the playoff game was they did a well enough job, a decent enough job on Derrick Henry in that game, that it wasn't the overwhelming storyline of the offense, right? I mean, Lamar had to do more through the air. They had to find other ways to move the ball, and they did. I mean, their offense moved the ball extremely well in that January game. They didn't take care of it, right? It was three turnovers. But this was much more like the Week 4 meeting last year, in the sense that, I mean, you look at Lamar, he had 19 pass attempts. They had one receiver with more than two catches. Why? It's because Derrick Henry had 169 yards rushing on 18 carries. You mentioned Lamar, and it's an astute observation. Yeah, there weren't Lamar carried the ball six times. What? Maybe one of those, two of those were designed runs, right? I mean, the others were scrambles. And Lamar, to your point, he is at a point, and it's really trended that way big time the last couple years. Certainly in 23, but more so last year, and what we saw on Sunday night. Yeah, Lamar's in a position where he'll run around, he'll run around, he'll run around. And you made mention of facing pressure. There are also times when Lamar is actually the one responsible for the pressure because he holds on to the ball longer. But it works, right? It works to a phenomenal level
Until you make a mistake.
until you make a mistake. Now, Lamar didn't turn the ball over on Sunday night, and he does such a great job taking care of the ball. That's why it was so, you realize the last two turnover games that Lamar Jackson has had. So two turnovers in a game, not four or five, or just two turnovers in a game are the Ravens' last two playoff losses. You think back to the Kansas City game, which was the end of two seasons ago, until now, he's literally had two games where he's turned it over twice. It was that Kansas City game, the AFC title game, and last January. So he does a phenomenal job taking care of the football, but Derrick Henry in one spot, and it's, again, he hardly ever fumbles, but man, it just happened at the worst possible time. And it just speaks to this team in crunch time, just as great as the offense was, and it was fantastic over 55 minutes. I mean, you gotta do something there. Protect the ball. Get a first down on the last drive. You do that, and you're going home
Well,
with a
and
win.
that's another thing. Like they're not want to throw the football in running downs in that situation with the clock management, and we all beat Harbaugh up about the clock and stuff. But given the passing part of the offense, that it felt like Bateman and Andrews weren't on the field. You know what I mean? It didn't feel. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like they needed them because they run the ball so well and they're breaking off 40-yard runs and all that. But chucking the ball around is something it didn't feel like they wanted to do in Buffalo to some degree because the running game's working so well. But there is a point where, like, the track meet part of what they do in throwing the football, I like to see a little bit more of that in some way. But when you got a 15-point lead with 4 minutes left to go in the game, I can't sit here on Monday morning and second guess they didn't throw the ball enough or whatever. They did what they needed to do, but that is also a weapon they have that was not at all unleashed in this. Throwing the football was not what they wanted to do, did, even it almost looks like, can they throw the football if you didn't know better? Because they run it so well. And in the history of the game, they're averaging 10 yards a play. And they're not even throwing the ball. It's
Yeah,
crazy.
right. I mean, and it's not like they didn't make plays in the passing game. I mean, Zay Flowers had a, we barely even mentioned him. He had a great night. I mean, 143 yards, a touchdown, 7 catches on 9 targets. Lamar was 14 of 19. It's a 74% completion
But
percentage.
14 and 19 and 7, I'm with the Flowers, is what I'm saying. Like,
Sure.
yeah.
Well, but again, ran for 238 yards. He averaged 8.2 yards per carry. You and I have talked a lot about what this,
There was
and
one football, right?
right,
You have seven offensive stars and there's one football, right?
sure. I mean,
And
again,
you ran 50 plays because
nothing.
you run the ball so well, the fatback goes 50 yards, 60 yards. There's not 3 yards, 3 plays for Bateman to go 6 for 58 the way he would in some other offense by being in Joe Flacco's offense. By the way, Flacco threw a couple of picks, and I don't know if you watched the game or not, or where you were red zoning on Monday, or whether
They
you were
weren't
stuck on
really
the.
his fault.
My
I mean,
God, they were breadbasket. It was almost like the wide receiver pitched the ball to the cornerback in some cases. It's crazy.
they weren't perfect throws, but they certainly were not throws where you said, "Oh, that's on the quarterback,"
That's
right? I
an
mean,
interception.
yeah, exactly. So, but no, but to go back to the Ravens, I mean, yeah, and that's why I said this is so frustrating because their offense, I mean, that was incredibly impressive. I mean, it really, really was
I don't even
when.
know how to sit here and pick on it, and the end of
Well,
the day.
you pick on it because of what they did at the end or what they didn't do at the end, right? I mean, you go field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown. And then the last three drives of the game, three and out, two and out on a fumble. And then the final drive, just knowing, get one first down. Get one first down, and it's very likely
Dude, if you
over.
and I stopped the Earth in its movement at 11:15 on Sunday night and said, "What would have to happen for them to lose?
Well, and you
What
think
would
about the.
have to happen? It would have to be a three and out, a turnover, a block kick, a muff punt, a turnover, something, right? Like something weird would have to happen for them to squander this again. Especially if you knew Buffalo was going to miss the 2-point conversion."
Yeah,
Right?
yeah. I mean, well, the fumble, and then Buffalo catches a touchdown on a deflection, right? I mean, there were the two plays that really swing that one immensely in terms of the Ravens being at like what 99% win probability to then what ended up
Well,
happening.
giving the ball at the 20-yard line instead of the 2-foot line, too, was also.
But I mean, it's just you want to play clean, and I even go back to. A little bit earlier, before that, before the punt where Simpson doesn't down it at the 1-inch line, think about that drive. I mean, I think the Ravens had 3rd and 8, and this was at a point where I think people weren't even paying that close attention because you're just up by 2 scores at that point. It's the fourth quarter, you've got the ball, right? I mean, this was after the Henry touchdown. You kind of forget. After Henry scores that touchdown to make it 40-25, the Ravens did ma made Buffalo punt on their next drive, right? I mean, they got the ball back with a little over 9 minutes to go. They run to Derrick Henry twice. Buffalo stops him. It's 3rd and 8. And then Tylan Wallace commits a false start right there. Now, at the time, you're saying, oh, that's no big deal. Well, 3rd and 13, Lamar completes a pass to Zay Flowers for 9 yards, right? That 9-yard completion, and obviously down and distance changes and all that. So it's not a perfect comparison, but there's the difference right there of moving the chains. And let me correct myself. That was a 9-yard completion, but Buffalo declined it because Zay Flowers went forward motion. It was illegal motion. So on third down, back-to-back plays there where you have a chance, and I get it. It doesn't feel big at that time because you're up 40-25 and there's under 8 minutes to go at that point in time. But those are back-to-back plays where you committed a penalty when, man, you see how the end of that game plays out? If you get a couple first downs there, might be a very different end of the game at that point. So it all adds up. All of these little things. And the Ravens, look, even with how well they were playing and even with the fact that they were leading 40-25, you can go back and find little things sprinkled throughout the night that you need to be better. And let me be clear, if the Ravens won that game, the coaches would still be going over the little things with players, whether it's, they at the end of the half, remember they ran the play before the 2 minute warning where you kind of looked at that and said, you could have just taken that down. Well, Buffalo ended up having a couple extra seconds to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. So, and let me be clear, when I'm going through all of this, every team in the league has this kind of stuff. Even Kansas City will have plays over the course of the night where you want it back, right? A penalty here, a penalty there, a play call here, a play call there. Someone doesn't execute a play the right way. You know, a coverage isn't played the right way. So, you know, it sounds nitpicky, and it quite frankly, it is. But when you have a lot of little things that then add up to a monumental collapse, like what we witnessed over the final 5 minutes, then yeah, you go back and look at everything because, you know, we'll focus on a couple of the biggest plays that happened late, but you know, there were 20 or 25 plays over the course of the night on either side of the football that you could point to and say, man, that really had an impact. I mean, you know, we mentioned it with Buffalo. I mean, multiple failed 2-point conversions. I mean, another weird thing, it ended up not mattering, but how about on the 2-point conversion when Kyle Hamilton picks off the pass and then laterals it back to Kyle Van Noy in the end zone? If the Ravens don't bring that ball out there, that's a 1-point safety for Buffalo. I mean, think about that. I mean, it didn't happen, and credit Van Noy for getting out of the end zone and just
Yeah,
saying,
well,
okay.
some of it's just sort of knowing the rules and stuff, and Trenton
That was.
Simpson on the line, and just li little things, man. They're
Yeah.
little things in the first game of the season.
And it is. And again, every team has little things. I don't want to make this sound like this is exclusive to the Ravens, but when you are going up against the other very best teams, we talked about this 2 years ago in the aftermath of losing to Kansas City. Think of the little things the Ravens didn't do well in that game, compared to the Chiefs, who put together two touchdown drives and kind of sort of sat on the ball after that until the end of the first half when the Ravens had a couple penalties and Kansas City got a cheap three, right? Kansas City got a first down at the very end of the game when they needed it. And you think about the things the Ravens didn't do well, you know, fumbling and going across the goal line if you're Zay Flowers, and some critical penalties for the defense, and, you know, Lamar turning it over. And so when you have the kind of football team that this team has the potential to be, and it's not even potential, they did it for 55 minutes on Sunday night. And then you go back and look at those little things, it's just like, gosh, these are the things that are contributing to you really beating yourselves as much as anything. And again, Buffalo made plays. I don't want to make it sound like they don't deserve a heck of a lot of credit, but my gosh, just this team's, I've called it a master class in self-destruction too many times. You know, when they lose, they never lose. It's never by two scores or three scores, or, you know, they never have an lay an egg like that. I mean, the last time they've done that in a game, you know, not counting games that Lamar missed, you know, a couple years ago, but the last time that they were, you know, at least full strength with Lamar at the helm, that they lost a game and really lost it handily, you have to go back to that, what was it, an October game against the Bengals in 2021? I mean, seriously, that's how long it's been. When they lose, it's these inexplicable, mind-numbing, pull your hair out, excruciating self-destruction, right? I mean, it's really what it is. And it's just, gosh, it's like I said, when are they going to learn? I mean, this game, look, it's one game. And like I said, who knows? Maybe they'll go 16-1. I have no idea. Guessing probably not, but I don't think they're going to lose many football games because there are very few teams in the league that can really hang with them. But Sunday night, it still goes back to, are you going to do the little things well? Are you going to take care of the football? Are you going to play smart? Are you going to limit the mistakes in crunch time? And, you know, this is the latest example of Lucy pulling the ball away from Charlie Brown. I mean, it's just, you know, for as much as Kansas City has work to do with how underwhelming their week one performance was, I'm sure Andy Reid and those guys were watching that game Sunday night and thinking to themselves, same old Baltimore, you know, same old Ravens, right? I mean, it's Buffalo. They win and they're happy and all that, and they're thinking, man, we got to play better. We don't want to be in a position where we're down 15, but same old Ravens, right? I mean, it's incredibly frustrating because you see what this offense looks like. We'll get to the defense, but you see how incredible this offense was and can be, but man, you got to finish. And I can't give the offense a pass for what happened at the end of that football game.
Luke Jones is here. I am here. We will both be here all week long. We will be going to Cleveland this week to preview the Browns, who almost beat the Bengals, and Flacco played well enough to win. Burrow's 1-0. The Steelers have now won with Aaron Rodgers, and the Ravens did what they did on Sunday night, which we'll continue to discuss. We haven't talked a lot about the defense. We talked a little bit about the kicking game. Certainly talked about coaching and strategy late in the games. He is Luke. You can follow his work out of Baltimore. Luke, you can follow both of our work and also stay on the WNSD tech service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. If you're on that, you know how good it is. And any breaking news, including 8 2/3 of no-hit baseball on Saturday night. They did play some baseball around here this week. Alan McCallum and I had a long chat about Davey Johnson's impact on the Orioles. Alan did the job that Luke has done for almost 2 decades now here at WNSD because we've been around for 27 years. But when we were born in 98, Davey Johnson had just been run off along with John Miller and Eddie Murray and Mike Mussina and everybody else that came back on Saturday night. And we witnessed that as well. So a little baseball mixed in with our football here. We're going to mix some crab cakes in as well. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is next Tuesday at the Beaumont in Catonsville. Really looking forward to that because they have a great crab cake, but they also have that delicious fried lobster. My wife thinks it should be a lamb chop tour because the lamb chops are so delicious at the Beaumont. So we're looking forward to getting back out to Catonsville, seeing Evan Brown and Tatro and our friends out there, one of our favorite restaurants right at Frederick Road. Our friends at GBMC have sponsored our hotline. I've been doing some men's health and awareness. I wrote this down because I was away for a couple days last week. I wrote down that this is the week I have to call GBMC. I have to get my checkup. My male checkup, and I also have to get my colonoscopy. And so I'm going to have to make some appointments. We're going to be doing that with GBMC as we educate ourselves as well. Our friends at Curio Wellness have been educating us about the cannabis space for a long time. It is tastiness. It is our 27th anniversary. This is the final week of the countdown. This is the top seven. I know there are no buffalo wings on it this week, but there might be some meatballs and some peach cake. Might even, I don't know, might be some pizza pie and some cheesesteaks. He is Luke. I am Nestor. The Ravens are still 0-1. We're doing purple therapy. It's our 27th year of doing that. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Stay with us.